This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
So, AFC Wimbledon fans, I've just been saying similar things to the Watford fans, but I suppose it's been a completely different sense. But how quick and how much a week can be in football sometimes. Sat here last week. Who was I with last week? I was with
George.
Kevin. I was with Kevin and George.
Good old George.
Is George okay?
George is fine. He's been sacked.
Okay, oh, right. Because Nicky emailed me earlier, said that he's already on the way to Valley Parade.
He's on his way to Bradford.
He's already there.
He's already there. He's standing outside Valley Parade, waiting to get in. He's got a photo of the turnstiles of him just standing there like a lemon.
But I have to say, it was an absolute pleasure meeting George last week. Heard so much about him. And honestly and truly, I didn't think he was a real person.
No, you've got to love him. He is a real person. He's a fantastic person.
Yes. So this week in football, I mean, you would have been okay and right to think that you would have lost the game against Luton and all pressure would have been on the one against Wickham, as it turned out. I mean, it's about as good a week as you could have had, right?
Very true. I mean, the thing is, before we get onto that, I mean, I was speaking to you off air about the fact that I've realised that a lot of my time here coming into the studio this season, I have been very critical, very negative.
You've not been alone in that sense.
I know I haven't been alone, but there have been other guests who have been way more positive. You know, the gulf between the next most negative and myself is pretty astronomical.
At times.
But that actually transpires because I'd done the maths, and this whole season, home and away, I have only witnessed 4 wins that we have had. 4. And that's 1 away, 3 at home. The rest I have not witnessed at all. I've been either away or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I've seen a few on iFollow, but it's just not the same as when you're in the stadium. So that's why I've always had that ultra-critical point of view.
Mm.
When the match finished, we obviously were chatting away in our WhatsApp group, and then George suddenly sent me this beautiful message saying, "Mark, how does it feel to witness a win?" And that's what made me realise, oh my Lord, I haven't seen a win for so long. Mm. Live in the flesh, I should say. So, yeah, it was very nice to see a win. Very, very nice to see a win. I did not get to celebrate the win, though. Because in injury time, a football came flying in where we were sat, my son and myself.
Yeah.
My son being 6, and the ball was coming at some serious pace. He ducks, and it hits an older gentleman who's around 80, 85 years old, right on the hand. And I heard something snap.
Oh, dear. I don't like that.
Yeah, but I heard something. So I was like, okay, right, that's enough. And I jumped up. I ran off and got the St. John's Ambulance guys, or the girl and guys, so to speak, and to have a look at him. And they took him off to hospital to give him an X-ray to make sure he was all right. I don't know his prognosis. I'm assuming he'll be in. I'm assuming he is going to be in great hands. There's no questions asked. So I didn't actually get a chance to celebrate the win. When I came back with the St. John's Ambulance people, everyone was jumping around, going, "Hey, brilliant!" They'd obviously heard the final whistle. My focus was on the older gentleman.
Well, you're saving it for the final day, of course.
Of course.
Well, you've got something proper to celebrate.
And we have got something planned as well. We've got the 9 years podcast fun bus.
Are you on the fun bus?
We are on the fun bus.
So last week, it was not necessarily in doubt. It just wasn't confirmed. We needed numbers, of course. Who's driving? Because there was a certain... Is Nick...
Chris.
Chris wasn't allowed...
Kevin wasn't allowed.
Kevin wasn't allowed.
Yeah, because of his diabetes.
Yes.
So,
which was very upset about.
Chris, Nick's brother, he's going to be driving. He's a policeman, so he's got all the relevant credentials. We've got another couple of drivers listed on as well, just in case one gets a bit tired and whatnot. But yeah, the fun bus is all set. We're in inverted commas, sold out, all 11 places. Sebastian, my son, he's going to be the only one who's going to be under the age of 36 going up, and then under the age of 20 something, whatever age you are, George, coming back down. So Sebastian's going to be a boy amongst men, and he's going to have a great laugh, and that's what I wanted to give him, you know, just the opportunity to really celebrate. And let's just do the business up at the Bantams.
A little bit later on we will properly discuss Bradford. I mean, look, it's the best case scenario, isn't it, to be playing a team already relegated? But yes, hold fire and all thoughts on Bradford. But of course, as ever, AFC Women fans, and I've got a couple of tweets in already, we will endeavour to go through all of them, as we will take your calls as well. Let's talk about Luton. That epic moment of that equaliser. My word. I mean, just watching the video, there's so many different players, Mark, I pick out and think, do you know what I mean?
When the celebrations.
Yeah, yeah, all words with awesome. going into the fans.
No, I've watched it. I've watched it 10 times, yeah, so that I could watch one player.
Exactly.
Every
and that's
time.
What I'm doing each time. And I need to.
Kalambai's knee slide
yes,
is just
yes.
epic. It puts Joe Piggott to shame.
There was another player. One second, I just need to know which number he was. Yeah, Dylan Connolly.
Mm.
Dylan Connolly. This
with
is,
his river dance.
Yes, he was literally on the advertising boards,
actually,
banging his feet up and down.
He isn't really doing a river dance.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's just kicking them.
Say, but it is epic, though, isn't it? It's absolutely epic.
It shows the passion that they have. At last we had passion.
Yeah.
Well, I say at last. We've had it for a fair while now, a few months. But before...
I know what you mean.
Know, it was just... The thing... Right, I've been looking at footage now to do a new... galvanizing video for the before Bradford, and I've had to watch all the extended highlights of all the matches prior to Wally's appointment, and the only way that I can put it is it was
hard work.
Oh my lord, it was so drab. All of the football was drab, and I didn't actually, you know, you only realize this when you look back. It was ultra depressing, even with my eyes now looking, and we're on the verge of safety and everything like that. Just watching the game, or the games, I should say, away to Plymouth, at home to Bradford, which we were playing shocking, dire football, and to think that we were sitting through that, it was hard, and it's especially hard to see how bad it was back then. But then on the flip, it's really nice to have this positivity around the club again, you know.
Right, I'm going to ask one question.
I hope you ask many more this whole show, but...
Well, before we take a little breather.
Okay.
But one re-survival and the implications and the possible outcomes. It does appear that Wimbledon is certainly in the driving seat, and the odds are in your favour now for the first time.
Still only 2 points.
Well,
but
for the first time this season.
Well, first time in 198?
89 days.
Right.
You're out of relegation.
We're out of the relegation zone. We're actually able to breathe rather than tread water.
But I mean, I'm going to ask the question anyway. I mean, is there still lingering fears of, first of all, of relegation? And have you considered, if you do get relegated, how that would make you feel at the end?
Because... No, you know what? For me personally, I don't mind us now being relegated, that we've got out of the relegation zone, because we put up a fight. Go back to, let's say, February, March time, when we were 9 points bottom. Let's say 10 with the goal difference. All we were yearning for was that we wouldn't end up last, that we would go down with a fight.
Yep.
We've done that.
Without a doubt.
So for me, it's almost job done. And you know what? If we survive, brilliant. If Milton Keynes stay down, even better. Because you know what? For two seasons in a row, we would have ended up above them. Right? That's, for me, job done.
Yeah.
But you say, would it be disappointing? Initially, yes. But then after long, hard thinking about it, this squad isn't the best squad we've ever had. It isn't the strongest squad we've ever had. But what they have managed to achieve, certainly over the past 5-6 weeks, is nothing short of miraculous. So, yeah. I'm proud of what they've done. I'm proud that they fought for the badge. I'm proud that they actually worked their socks off. Rio Ferdinand posted a meme the other week, and it said, if you play for the badge on the front of your shirt, people will remember the name on the back. And he's right.
It's fair, yeah. Right? It's bang on. Well said, indeed. And do you know what? The story and the recovery and just the incredible turnaround under Wally. I'm surprised it's not being picked up and talked about by more people. But at the same time, I think it's kind of a nice thing that you've gone under the radar. And hopefully now, when that is all sealed, as I'm sure it will be, against Bradford, we can do a proper celebration and really recognise what the manager and these players have done. AFC Wimbledon fans, please, this evening, do get in touch. Send your tweets in at Love Sport Radio. How confident are you? What did you make of that win over Wickham and also those epic scenes away at Luton? Get in touch. Love Sport Radio is the Twitter handle, or give us a call. Me and Mark are with you till 9 p.m. this evening, 0208 7020 558.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Welcome back. AFC Wimbledon fans are here on Love Sport Radio. Me and Mark just discussing off air, as you just caught the end of. I mean, where does it rank with regards to the greatest of survivals? Because things have done, and teams have done similar over the years. I mean, Plymouth, I remember last year, were in a horrible, horrible situation for a long time. And
yeah, but that was at the beginning of the season.
I know, and then just missed out on the playoffs. So an incredible turnaround.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it out there as well, because I know I'm horribly biased, but of course Leicester, when they were bottom of the Premier League for longer than any other side, and ended up finishing 14th because they won 7 of the last 8. Yeah. But you know, as far as turnarounds go, it is absolutely miraculous by AFC Wimbledon. I really do think it. But do you agree though, in the sense of it's been kind of nice that it has gone under the radar, there's not been as much attention of it, or do you wish that people had been paying more attention to what your club had been doing?
I'm not fast.
No?
No. I'm focusing on the team in front of me. That's all I care about. Everyone throughout the whole stadium, I'll admit I got a bit whipped up in the frenzy of when we were seeing the results coming in. What was it? 2 minutes, Bradford 1-0 up against Scunthorpe. And then after 10 minutes, 2-0 up. After 15 minutes, 3-0 up. And then I kind of got whipped up in the whole frenzy of, oh, what does this permutation? What's that permutation? What's going on here? What's the table going to look like and everything like that? And Sebastian, my son, God bless him, he was always going, oh, let me look at where we are. Are we above the line? Are we below the line? Older gentleman sat behind him, just tapped him on the shoulder and went, shut up about the line. Which was highly amusing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just was sitting there and I was saying, no, let's forget about all the other results. We need to win. That's it. We need to win. That's it. Forget about a draw. Forget about a loss. We needed to win.
Yeah, well, of course. But at the same time, there was a time where you could have won all your games and still not stayed up because it wasn't in your hands. The wonderful thing is that it is now in your hands. You win and there is absolutely nothing that anyone else can do about it, which is a wonderful position to be in. Jamie from West Yorkshire. It's just south of West Yorkshire, West Yorkshire. Lovely, apparently. Lovely this time of year. My producer, Jamie, tells me that you are full of positivity this evening.
I am. Very much very positive.
Good.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to Bradford on the final day of the season, hopefully. Yeah. I'm not really looking too much in the negative part. I felt yesterday, obviously I couldn't make the game yesterday, but I watched it on iFollow, and I thought that we played brilliantly in the second half. In the first half, we could have been about 3 or 4 nil up, if people were rightly thinking. I thought that Hansen arguably had a good game last night.
Arguably had a good game.
You know, people say Hansen should retire. Some people might not retire. I personally like Hansen because he's a strong, tall, talisman. And he's like Tom Elliott in a way, if you get what I mean.
Mark's pulled a face when you said that.
Without the pace.
Without the pace, but we can get the high balls into him, and that's something that we look at.
He's a fantastic target man. I'll grant you that.
I mean, he is a target man. Absolutely.
How much though should we, you know, talk about James? Because this brilliant run, it has coincided with him actually having a run in the team.
Yeah, we also had Mario Falivi playing very well. That's when we won 3 in a row.
I know, but he was a player that came in for a lot of criticism at the start of the season. And now it seems
but
to have
he's been injured. He's been injured a lot of the season.
Exactly, but I'm saying they've now got this settled front line, it seems, for the first time all season, of Hansen and Piggott. Now, it may be Piggott scoring all the goals, but, I mean, how much have, you know... Is Hansen, you know, the Emil Heskey to Michael Owen?
When Wally came in, his first game that he witnessed was the Chuckaway Trophy match.
I've not heard that before. I like that.
Chuckaway Trophy match against Chelsea under 23s away. And in his first interview, he said, Hansen can be the most almighty weapon for us. And then got injured, and that was, it took him ages to get back in.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, so there is belief that Wally has in Hansen. No questions.
Oh. Of course, obviously, I believe that Wally is an arguably a saviour in our season. Mm. Obviously, everyone for me said Ardley should have, you know, gone at the end of the season of last season. Mm. I personally agree with them, even though I was a massive, massive fan of Ardley and the way he brought about bringing us up into League One and bringing us better status in the football pyramid. Obviously, that's arguably one of the best achievements we had under Ardley, but. When we get recruitment, for example, he's from likes of Millwall, Brentford, Watford, all of his ex-teams he's sort of coached or he's got experience from, we kind of got his sorts of cast-off players and we didn't really need that. We needed somebody who could actually lead the line. For example, Danny Bullman, Jake Reeves, you know, all those sorts of players, Keller Roos, you know, all those players that helped us get there, Tom Elliott, Lyle Taylor, all these players now have gone to arguably bigger and better clubs. Like Lyle Taylor unfortunately went to our rivals Charlton, and Tom Elliott to Millwall, and Keller Roos to Derby. These are all players, and
Keller Roos was on loan from Derby anyway,
obviously,
so.
but we didn't secure them.
But then Jake Reeves went to Bradford, look where they are.
Yeah, and arguably, you know, I was shocked that Jake Reeves decided to leave and go to Bradford. Now Bradford are now in League Two.
Yeah, there was a gentleman's agreement apparently between Neil Ardley and Jake Reeves, and that was that after the playoff final we would allow Jake Reeves to leave.
He would have gone to like QPR. My suspicions was like QPR.
Apparently it was always Bradford. Apparently it was always Bradford.
Was he obviously Dominic Polion? Was he linking up with his former teammate Dominic
Something
Polion?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Hey, look, we got some money for him.
Well, yeah, but then is there something that, you know, in the close season, if we do stay up, obviously, if we go down, will we be able to sort of think, oh, he might be a player to come back?
Let me pose this question for you: would you rather have Jake Reeves in the team or Anthony Wordsworth?
Well,
right now.
Right now, I would actually go with Wordsworth on the basis that he is a good cross. He's a good cross of the ball. Yeah, he's out, you know, he's probably one of the best midfielders that helping, you know, Hartigan as well as Liam Trotter helped, you know, sort of the young ones progress. I would say that one of the questions I would like to ask you is why is Dylan Connolly sat on the bench and wasting away his minutes when he could be arguably on the pitch with Mitchell Pinnock?
He's right. Okay. So Wally had a post-match interview against after the Luton match, and he said, you know, I've got an amazing squad at the moment, and the system that he has set up with 3-5-2 or the 5-3-2, depending on how you want to see it, he just can't fit those players into that system. So he would rather play off with the current team that he's putting in week in, week out, and then use them as impact subs. He even said himself that Pinnock is our second highest scorer and the leader in assists, right?
But he
can't get into the team, and it's a shame. But that's just how it goes. And I've got no problem with what's going on until...
If he
switches it to a 4-4-2, I think he'll easily put those two back in.
Well, obviously, I think in early on in the season when we went to play Rochdale, and you know, people were thought, well, if we lose this match, then we've got no bloody chance in getting up where we want to be. And I was speaking to a few of the fans that made the trip up from London. Obviously, look, for me, it was just down the road for me. But when I went, and I was a bit optimistic, I thought we would get a draw of, like last season. Deji obviously opened the scoring last season, you know, when we stayed above the line, and obviously they went down. And I spoke to a few Rochdale fans prior to the match, and they said, oh, well, Rochdale are on form, they will probably win. And I thought, well, we'll see how it goes. And I never knew, it was before my birthday in fact, I never knew that we would actually have that desire and that belief to actually win the game. And even though Seddon, I would say, since he's come in, I would say he's probably one of the best left backs that he's struck, apart from Jonathan Meads. After Meads has gone, I thought, hang on a minute, we've got that, you know, open space at left back. But when Seddon's come in, I thought he's been arguably a real
solid. Yeah. Can't agree with you more.
Okay, just very quickly then, mate, before we need to let you go, are you heading to Bradford?
Of course.
Yeah?
Good man.
How confident are you? Is it job, you know, 90% done?
I would say we just need a draw. Mathematically, we need a draw. We're providing.
That's not enough.
Goal.
It's not enough. We need to win.
Not
we
enough,
need to win.
But
we
obviously,
win.
I'm optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah, and rightly so. Right, so look, appreciate the call, mate. Enjoy Bradford. Hopefully, we'll get the result that we all wish and hope for. And then we're back in League One next season.
I'd say 2-1 Wimbledon.
Good man.
Perfect. All right, thank you very much. That's Jamie there from South Warwickshire. You listen to the AFC Wimbledon Fans here on Love Sport. Like Jamie, if you want to get your calls in, 0208 7020 558, or just send us a tweet at Love Sport Radio.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
And welcome back to Love Sport Radio. Jake was too busy doing his stuff, so Mark's taken over the radio show.
Carry on.
No, it's your job. I'm not a radio presenter.
Well, I'm stealing a living as well, let's be honest. Right, so we talk about the game against Wigan this weekend. Producer David says, evidently in my ear. Look, I'm carrying on talking while somebody else talks in my ear. That's a skill, right?
Are you female? Let's move on.
So, Wickham, let's talk about it. How nervy was it towards the end?
Luton.
Let's do Wickham.
Wickham now.
I mean, Luton. I think almost Luton to the point of. Am I just right in saying
Luton were battering us?
Yeah, I was going to say.
And I mean battering us. It could have easily been 10-2.
Yeah.
Or even actually 10-1.
I saw the highlights, and it was very much Luton.
Nick loves Luton. I sent him a message saying,
fan.
"You know what? I
think Luton and Watford are two favourite clubs.
Yeah, absolutely." Mm. But I said to Nick, "You know what? I think Luton are going to stutter. I think they're going to really stutter over the line now, because that result against us that would certainly knock the stuffing out of them." By the by, they weren't clinical enough. They didn't do their job.
No.
Against us up front, I should say, and we kind of sensed it coming, that it was going to be a late equaliser, and that equaliser, we've discussed the celebrations, the one up, and the knee slide, and Wordsworth jumping into the fourth row or something, you know, it's absolutely crazy, brilliant, ecstatic. The fact that that happened on the Tuesday and not the Monday, I think, had more of a positive effect on the Saturday mentality.
Mm.
People were walking into the stadium very with trepidation, somewhat with a bit of a bit more nerves than sense. And anyone that I spoke to, I just said, you know what, this kind of reminds me of Accrington at home in the playoffs, where we took it 1-0 in the last minute. There's a sense within me, I sensed, we're actually going to manage to get a win, what we need. First time that I've had that, I think, all season, actually.
Mm.
At home. So I really believed throughout the game that we were going to actually win it. When they equalise and they hit the crossbar, hearts in mouths and worry. But from that moment on, when we scored the winner, they didn't actually really boss the game anymore. It kind of petered out. You can see if you look at the highlights on Sky Sports, which they normally show a couple more eventful matters after the winning goal that will arise, nothing actually did. It just turned into pretty much a dead rubber. So, you know, that's for me, no, I didn't have any worries. Mm. I kept the faith.
And that's positive, isn't it? But that's the thing, isn't it? When you score in that manner against Luton, it is more than a point, isn't it? It is more than a point.
In the 93rd minute.
In the sense of what it represents going into the next game. You know, if that game had finished 2-2 and all goals had been scored within an hour, you would have gone into that game. It's a decent point.
Yeah, could we have got something in the last minute? That's always that niggling thought in the back of your mind. You're right.
But that point against in the manner, it just gives you that so much kind
impetus.
Of bit extra belief and you know, and say impetus and positivity heading into that next game. And you know, Wickham, they are safe. You know, in terms of their, I know this is 3 points, but in terms of their goal difference, it'd take a 12 goal swing. So Wickham are safe. Did you get that sense from them? In that game?
The way that the fans trudged off, yes.
Yeah.
kind of as if they were to go, oh, well, look, the results otherwise have gone to our favour anyway. It doesn't really matter. They needed a draw at the beginning when kickoff happened. They needed that draw. Yeah. That's how they felt. When we missed the penalty in the 12th minute, no, earlier, 7th minute or something, when we missed that penalty, they went ballistic because they were still under that belief of, yes, we need that draw and let's go on. When they equalised, they went mental, you know, but then when we took the lead, they carried on singing because they saw the results going on around them. So they didn't have that. They you know, you know, Gareth Ainsworth's interview to the official, to their official website, to Wickham Wanderers' official website, you know, he got it bang on. Wild Thing said that, you know, what was it? He said about 45 seconds into the interview, which we've managed to get a copy of, he said that this is the real Wimbledon and my old club. He was referring to us in such a beautiful, positive way. No way in hell do I like the way the guy sets up his teams. They're cheating, horrible. They dive. They when their goalie was down injured, I say injured in massive inverted commas, so big that they make the shard look stupid. You know, he was just wasting time. I think it was one of their defenders, picked up the ball, walked over to the penalty spot and dug it up completely whilst the ref had his back turned.
Yeah.
That's the kind of style that they are, the kind of team that they are. Horrible, horrible, horrible opponents. Mm. But then after watching that interview, you just go, oh man, I like you again.
So, it's football though, isn't it? Yeah. It's the dark arts that people talk about that sometimes, you know, you wish others would do. But yeah, let's talk about then Joe Piggott. It's been pretty...
The anomaly.
Pretty... The last couple of months, the goals, how
brilliant.
Important?
Yeah, very. He won Player of the Year, Players Player of the Year, at the Player of the Year Awards at King's Meadow after the match. His goals have been vital.
Of course. Yeah.
He is an anomaly, and Stuart and I think, share the same thought process of that. He really does have everything about him to be a League Two striker, but he can score League One goals, right?
Any higher than League One, or do you think? Because let's be honest,
he's got to learn how to jump.
But Mark, for his age and for his story, as in terms of
where
he's come from,
he's got to learn how to jump.
But people will be looking at him, Championship clubs, top end League One clubs, saying, "Well, this striker they'll believe is some way gettable. He's shown at the clubs he's been at that he has got something about him." I think clubs will take a look. At the very least, they'll be intrigued by him.
Yeah, I can't deny that. Whether that actually will then formulate into something, I don't know.
Mm.
He's so much better with the ball at his feet than anywhere up in the air. As I said now for the third time, he can't jump. I don't understand it. But if you look at the goal that he scored, the first goal that he scored for yesterday from the corner, he actually uses Akinfenwa as a mini stepladder. He just basically just climbs up on the back of Akinfenwa. And as if to go, well, you're just a massive boulder. I might as well, you know, mountain... Man, what was the name of that film? Man Who Climbed Up a Mountain? Walked up a hill and climbed down a mountain.
I'm not a film man.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Shameful. Anyway, so that's how... He just used Akinfenwa's stature to lift himself up off of the air. Honestly, I did turn around to Sebastian and I said, it's the first time I've seen him actually jump into this for a header. That was... Actually, you know what? It's not. Upon reflection, the first time was against West Ham in the Carabao Cup when we scored in the first minute.
He scored a few headers, isn't he?
He scored a few headers, but whether he jumps is another matter.
What is it important if he keeps scoring with his head?
Of course. No. Of course it matters if you're going to jump or not.
And also...
It gives you an extra foot, 2 foot in the air.
On the flip side, the higher you play, probably the less he'd need his head if he's really good with his feet.
Yeah, you see, we play the long ball.
Mm.
So if Hansen's not going to get there... Joe Piggott will. Whether he can hold up the ball again is another matter.
Mm.
Doesn't win many flick-ons. But again, don't get me wrong. He's excellent with the ball at his feet. He has the skills to get past 2 to 3 players. He's got the tenacity and the brains.
Mm.
He's just not that 100% League One player. And that's why I'll refer back to that. He's the anomaly. He really is.
Interesting. I've got a tweet in from Dan here as well. He says, for a bloke who can't jump, scored two goals with his head yesterday, Luton away was also a header. And I think it is an interesting point. You know, if he's a divisive figure, 15 goals, tell me, AFC Wimbledon fans, where do you sit with Joe Piggott?
I don't want to say I don't love him.
No, of course not. Of course not. But the point is, at 15 goals for the position that Wimbledon are in, you'd be looking at him thinking, well, he's a level above the current group that you have got. Is that the belief and the thoughts of you fans? Is he a really good asset for you? At Love Sport Radio is the Twitter handle, 0208 72558. Joe Piggott, League One, League Two, Championship striker. What do you think? We'll talk about those Player of the Year awards as well next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
So let's talk about these Player of the Season awards, nice and early done by AFC Wimbledon. I like, there's a few names. Usually it's one player that wins all of them. Quite often. Yeah. Players Player of the Year, Will Nightingale. Any arguments with that whatsoever? Player of the Year, sorry.
Player of the Year,
yeah,
sorry.
Players Player is Joe, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's... I thought he would come second. Honestly, I did.
Two?
Ramsdale. And I thought Seddon would win Young Player of the Year.
But obviously the issue being that Aaron wasn't here all season.
That just goes to show what kind of a season we've had.
I know that it's not that uncommon that a player can come in mid-season and win these awards. But, yeah. I mean, consistently, I get the feeling that Will and Joe have been the two best players.
Yeah. If you take it over the whole of the season, I think Will has done exceptionally well. There have been a handful of games where you've just gone, oh, come on, Will, you're better than that. Mm. You know, he's done quite a few costly errors. Burton away, for instance, he's just so flat-footed and he had no confidence whatsoever. I was a bit surprised. I thought it would be Aaron Ramsdale winning Player of the Year. But I do not wish it on anyone else but Will. I think Will deserves it. If he was voted that, I'm not going to 1 ounce of me is going to say that's the wrong call.
So Player of the Year, Will Nightingale. Players Player, Joe Piggott. Aaron Ramsdale, let's again talk about, we've done it lots. I mean,
waxing lyrical.
Well, it is, and there was one save in particular against Luton where it took a deflection. He was already kind of halfway going down.
Right, I've worked on that.
It's a pretty special save, isn't it?
It is, because of the fact that he uses his wrong hand, right?
Don't ever say that to a goalkeeper.
No. As in what you are anticipating which hand he's going to use to save.
But do you know when you watch a goal go in and a norm says gone with the wrong hand?
Oh, right.
That to a goalkeeper or ex-goalkeeper?
I know. I used to play in goal. I know. But my point being that I've looked at this save, I think probably in the region of about 20 times on super slow motion on my Final Cut Pro editing software.
How does he save it?
Right. So he's wrong-footed slightly, slipping slightly at the same time, and he goes up, and I'm going to gesticulate here in the studio. Nobody can see me do this. It's the wonders of radio. But he's going up to save it, and he's diving to his left. Now, usually, because he's diving to his left, your right shoulder is up in the sky a bit more, so your right hand would have a higher reach. Mm. He doesn't, though. He actually uses his left hand, which is considerably lower, and bats it to one side. You can't really see it that well because of the fact that his glove is white and it happens right by where the camera is showing on the post of the goal. So it's really difficult to see unless you slow it frame by frame down. It is a, for want of a better phrase, a miraculous save. The thing that upsets me the most about that save, Eddie Howe was in the Blooming Stadium when that happened.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know when a lone player comes in and they have such a positive impact?
Yeah.
I'm sure in the stands there's been kind of chance of signing him up, you know, and there's been discussions constantly.
I met his mum yesterday.
Okay, well, what does Aaron Ramsdale's mum say? Because I'm sure you
Aaron Ramsdale's mum said,
can we have him back?
We wanted to actually, apparently, Wimbledon wanted to sign him in August, but he broke his thumb.
Okay.
So that put paid to that, had to wait until January. When he came in, he was originally a Sheffield United player, and Sheffield United got a great offer from Bournemouth for him. He didn't want to leave Sheffield, and Sheffield said, financially, it just makes too much sense. We've got to accept this offer, and it's good if you accept the offer as well. Bygones, he went then to Bournemouth. Then he had the option of actually sitting on the bench. But his mum said he really wanted to play. He just really wanted to play. He didn't matter. It didn't really actually matter what division.
Yeah.
But then when Wimbledon came in, he straight away got this feeling of, this is a good fit. And apparently, I say apparently, Aaron, according to Aaron's mum,
fairly decent source. Close to the player.
Ashley Bayes, our goalkeeping coach, Bezo, he is the absolute factor as to why he loves it at Wimbledon so much. They get along like best mates, like a house on fire, because of the fact that Bezo is such a character. And Aaron actually is also such a character. They don't take beep from anybody. So that's why it works so well. And the only thing that we can do is hope that next season Bournemouth do purchase Foster from... Is it Foster from Stoke?
Oh, or no, Butland.
Butland, yes. Sorry. And that Aaron will say, I want to have another year.
Mm.
Now, he has loved it so much at Wimbledon that if we stay up and a championship club don't come in asking about him for a loan, which would probably then be promoted from League One this year, so Luton maybe, yep, or Sunderland, or actually less Sunderland, but or Barnsley or someone like that, I doubt that they would want to have him as a loan player. They would probably want to purchase him, and I think he will be outpriced for a championship team. So there are so many permutations about this, but I believe that he would actually contemplate coming back. To my belief from speaking to his mum is that he loves it so much with us. I think he would be happy with another season under his belt.
Has he said anything, though?
No. But he is still a young kid.
I know, but it's not one of those situations where
he plays his cards very close to his chest. He plays his cards very close to his chest. He's not going to necessarily say anything because I think he understands us. We adore him. I don't think he knows that, and I don't think he wants to have that pressure of breaking our hearts if he then decides to go elsewhere.
Okay.
I think he's playing it very well.
No, it'll be interesting to see when it is coming summer.
God, Aaron, if you're listening, come back to us.
Yes. And I'm sure Mark speaks for the entire fan base of AFC Wimbledon. Right, going to take a break when we come back. We'll preview Bradford. We'll continue to take the calls. 0208 70 20 558. Had some tweets in as well. We will talk about them as well before the end of the show at 9 p.m. this evening.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Thank you, producer David, getting a very loud, sharp, crisp countdown in both of our ears. We just want to have a chat. Is that too much to ask for? Extended ad breaks, please. Me and Mark want to discuss things.
Let's chat Twitter.
Yes, let's. Regarding Joe Piggott and the chat we were having earlier about just how good he is, Chris Hardy's been in touch. He says, I love Piggott, but I can't help but feel that his flaws will be the thing that ultimately keeps him with us, at least in the short term.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So yeah, do keep in those Joe Piggott tweets coming in. 15 goals this season, you know, in a struggling side, it has to be said.
I assume he means flaws in a very loose sense of the matter, you know, not saying that it's a complete flaw, you know, it's a proper chink in his armour. you know, but I agree. He's got flaws. He doesn't have that such mobility. He's so close to being the polished article.
Yeah. Still time. Kaz has been in touch regarding Ramsdale. We've just been waxing lyrical, as we've done on so many occasions since he joined the club. He says, yes, Mark speaks for all of us regarding Rambo. It would be amazing to have him for another year. Top man. You were saying, there's been various stories of, you know, him speaking to people and going to meet fans in the clubhouse and whatnot.
Kicking
afterwards.
About with the kids.
I mean, look, it feels sometimes like a really easy thing to say. There's videos of footballers going to have a little kick about it in the background, or sending people messages, or getting in touch with people. And, you know,
there's
footballers,
so many more footballers that just don't bother.
Yeah, footballers, I think, are doing it more now than perhaps ever before. But at the same time, by the same token, there are lots that don't bother.
Yeah.
And at a club like Wimbledon, it does mean so much more, because I find your club so unique in that sense of going into the clubhouse after matches and players and managers and coaches mixing with, it is incredibly unique, isn't it?
Yeah.
Particularly at League One level.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen these days.
The fans owned element of that is
I know, but even then you'd still get the impression, not get the impression, sorry, but these League One footballers, if they've played for lots of other clubs at higher level or at the same level, I bet you they didn't do that then.
No, but I think it's also a breath of fresh air. If you look at the opinion, or I should say the mannerisms that, for example, Anthony Wordsworth has had. We've had him play against us many a time in the past. Mm. He's always seemed to be a bit more of an insular kind of guy. I have never seen him so outspoken, so engaging as since when he joined us.
Yeah.
He gets us as well.
It's been good fun on Twitter as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, he has. It's a great laugh. Mm. So, you know, there's that side to it, which is very, very, very positive.
Mm.
So I think it's kind of one hand washes the other on this. We won't... Okay, there was quite a bit of disconnect between the players and the fans before Wally came in, but that was because of the bad run that we had and everything like that. And there was no comments coming out from any of the players on the social media side of things, let alone the media from the club.
Mm.
It was very muted. However, since Wally came in, there's been a bit more engagement with us and to get us a bit more onside, and I think that was back in the days when Wally was also an apprentice. There was, you know, he would mingle amongst the fans, he would get to know them. We won't ever insult players to their faces, and Wally knows that we won't.
Yeah,
you know, we won't. We're not that kind of a group of people. Even if we're going on a stinking run like we would have had, I think we would have just sat down with them and talk to them like proper people. We wouldn't have gone, oh, you're really rubbish, you're really, actually using different choice of words, because that's what generally we do in the bar area. However, we wouldn't have done that. We would have gone, where's it going wrong? What's going on here? Why do you think that is? Why do you think... We would have just chatted to them. Mm. And Wally, I think, and Glyn have both turned around to the players and gone, look, let's continue this. Let's continue this relationship between the fans and the players. They don't just pay your wages. They adore you. They worship you. Show it a little bit back, and it's working. Mm. It's really working.
Sturgy Boy tweeted, didn't he, earlier on about what's most impressed you about
this
Wally.
Is exactly
is that
what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he gets it.
Yeah, he does. And Wally's also got an air of no-nonsense about him. If you just watch his interviews and everything like that, he tells it how he is. He's a really sharp mind.
Yeah.
Really sharp mind. And, you know, there quite a few times where, you know, someone, a journalist from BBC or wherever, will ask him a question and he won't hesitate to suddenly put them in their place in not a harsh or condescending way.
Mm.
He'll put them in their place with a bit of dry humour. And that's a real fine skill to have.
I was going to say, it's someone who demonstrates that they're the boss. It's natural leadership skills, isn't it?
Exactly.
That ability to be able
he
to do that.
He has that in abundance.
Absolutely. Right, Will Haynes has been in touch as well this evening regarding Piggott. This is his tweet. He says, Piggott's a frustrating player because throughout the season he's gone on dry spells and then he goes on a run where he can't stop scoring. Ultimately, I think a transfer priority for next year is a new striker, as we can't rely on him and Hansen alone.
Yeah, from what I've heard, there are rumours around that Hansen might be on his way, which is somewhat a shame because of the fact that he's just found form a little bit. Mm. Okay, he's not hammering the goals in, but he's found form on the pitch in terms of the teamwork.
Yeah.
There are whether that will happen or not, I guess the summer will tell. So that might free up a bit of extra wages. I think Glyn and Wally have got a very, 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 very strong contacts book to work on for the summer. Better than Neil Ardley would have had, because I think Neil Ardley's contacts books, certainly for League One
limited.
Work, was limited. He had left the academy side of work from 6-7 years prior. Wally and Glyn, they have got the contacts that could find us a nice little gem somewhere.
Yes, do keep those tweets coming in regarding Joe Piggott. An interesting debate there that we stumbled across this evening. Let's talk about the final round of fixtures coming up. We all, of course, know that it's Bradford away for you guys. Southend, home against Sunderland. Shrewsbury play Walsall and a proper rumdinger between Plymouth and Scunthorpe. Of course, them both in trouble. A winner-takes-all situation there.
Possibly.
Yes, possibly.
Right. Yeah. If you go onto Twitter and you throw in a GIF and you just go onto the search and you just type in maths, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of you know, pictures that come up with all these kind of pictures of people kind of tilting their head slightly and all the maths equations going in front of them. Mm. Amalgamate 500 of those, and that's how I feel right now, okay? I haven't a clue about how this weekend is going to pan out.
Yeah.
And I am going to actually put my phone in my pocket and I'm going to sit on it. I'm actually going to switch it off so it doesn't vibrate, nothing. I cannot and I will not. I'll just listen to what other people say around me. I'm not going to look myself. We need a win. I don't care so what the other results
are. So during
are.
The game itself, you're not going to look at anything?
No, I can't, because it's just going to do my head in. It's going to do my head in.
Okay, but beforehand...
Especially if there's an early goal somewhere, yeah. right? And that's where you just go, oh, no, now the pressure's on.
But let's look at the actual fixtures themselves. Yeah. On paper, you think Southend have got a tough one. They're at home against Sunderland.
Sunderland will have nothing to play
for. That's my point. Yes, they're on 85 points, which is absolutely wonderful. And yes, they are clearly the better side than Southend.
However, you do want to go in with a win into the playoffs. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, with some kind of momentum, exactly. of course.
But I do see Sunderland... I see them scraping a win.
Yeah.
And making it very nervous for us.
Shrewsbury-Walsall. Shrewsbury just safe.
Just now against Coventry. They drew 1-1.
Yeah. So they're job done. That's all they need to worry about.
Job done, but they have quite a lot of pride up there. I've got to give them that. Walsall all of a sudden have found a bit of form. Mm. I'm actually going to say a Walsall win.
Okay. And obviously that puts the pressure... back
firmly on us,
absolutely. And then Plymouth Scunthorpe again, you know,
I see actually Scunthorpe winning as well,
really, because,
yeah, Plymouth are in free fall completely. If you just look at the result that they had against Accrington,
defeats
exactly. And apparently Ladipo, their top scorer, is on the bench because he's had a massive falling out with the management. The whole club is in complete disarray apparently. And
I know they've banned all the local journalists. Derek Adams has banned all the local press, which is never a good sign.
I said to Nick, it's also transpired that I've got a strange thing where I do not like coastal teams. I don't know why. I've just found this out. I don't like Southend. Right. I don't like Plymouth. I don't like Portsmouth. I don't like Southampton.
Fleetwood?
I don't like Fleetwood.
Blackpool.
I don't like Blackpool. Honestly, Morecambe. I don't know why. It's always a coastal team. I don't know why. Sunderland. I don't like them.
Right.
It's a bizarre thing, right? And for me, actually, it stems from Plymouth. I don't like Plymouth. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate them. I just don't like them because they are actually one of our bogey teams. They always come to King's Meadow. They always win. It's annoying. I just want them to be in a division separate from us. I don't care if they get promoted. I don't care if they get relegated. Just as long as they're not in the same division as us. Please.
Well, look, I didn't think it was possible to go through an entire hour, Mark, without a classic trademark Mark rant. But we got it. We got it just in time. So thank you, my friend.
I have to provide somehow.
So, look, next time we're sat here, on Sunday, we'll know the fate.
We were born for greatness, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Up next for AFC Wimbledon, it is Bradford. Enjoy the fun bus. Hoping and praying I'll be watching and following all the action on Twitter. And I look forward to talking about survival next week. Love Sport Radio, the AFC Wimbledon fan show, 8 till 9 p.m.
Thanks,
enjoy.
Cheers.
This is Love Sport. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.